Well, I'm Mimi Rosenberg, and with Ken Nash, we're building bridges. And before we listen to Hands Off Rafa, we lift up the name of Aaron Bushnell, the young U.S. Air Force member who immolated himself in front of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., declaring, "I will no longer be complicit in genocide," and whose sacrifice, we hope, inspires U.S. people of conscience to exercise their humanity to stop the genocide in our name. How long must the U.S. trash its proclaimed values of humanism and democracy and any pretense of international law to support a supremacist, murderous Zionist project, a state founded upon settler colonialism that is destroying portions of the Middle East and risking global conflict? Free Palestine. Those were the courageous words, Aaron Bushnell's very last words. And we echo them. Free, free Palestine. From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And we'll remember and uphold the legacy of Aaron Bushnell and for all the martyrs who were felled by Zionism and its aiders and abettors, instigators, provocateurs, the United States of America. Nearly a dozen people were arrested by police on Saturday near the end of a giant rally of pro-Palestinian protesters in Manhattan, where tens of thousands marched through the pouring rain. I'm still drip drying, including the actress Susan Sarandon, who called for a ceasefire and for self-determination for a free, free Palestine to the drenched crowd. Now we go to the Hands Off Rafa rally to educate, agitate, and organize to stop the genocide in our name.
Free Palestine! It's cold, it's rainy, but that is not going to stop us from standing up and raising our voices to say we will stand with the people of Gaza, with the people of Palestine, no matter what the conditions. We know right now that the people who are facing genocide are also facing cold. They're also facing the rain, but they're in tents if they're lucky. They're being completely flooded out. They're being completely starved out. They have almost no sense of humanity being given to them by the countries who are blocking the aid, sending the bombs, and facilitating the murder of tens of thousands. So those who are supporting this Zionist genocide, that we are ground down, that we remain quiet. They hope that after months that we become tired of coming out. Are we tired? They hope that after months and months of coming out, that we'll be demoralized, that we will not want to raise our voices. Are we demoralized? Because we are drawing our strength from the millions of people in Palestine who are standing up against unbelievable odds, whose resistance cannot be broken. Palestine will never die. We want to bring you a number of fantastic speakers that have helped keep this movement going for months and months to keep fighting this genocide. I'd like to start by bringing to the stage Miriam from the Palestinian Youth Movement.
Glory to our martyrs and victory to the people of Palestine. Every day, the genocide on Gaza continues without pause. We wake up to a new horror, another massacre. Every day, we watch the Zionist enemy wage its war of annihilation against the Palestinians of Gaza. Murder, torture, collective punishment. These are Zionist crimes. The true face of 100 years of colonization, aided and abetted by our own government. And today, millions across the entire world are marching for Gaza. march for a permanent ceasefire. We march to lift the siege on Gaza. We march to demand aid be allowed into Gaza. We march for our prisoners held in Zionist jails and resisting their captors. And we march for our martyrs to honor their sacrifice. And it is critical now more than ever that we march for all the people of Palestine to end the occupation once and for all. Every single day moving forward, we have to build this movement. Because right now, we're in a critical moment. The scumbag politicians, the criminals who choose to spend our taxes on war rather than education, healthcare, and housing, they're feeling the pressure more than ever. So it is our task and our duty to make their support for Israel absolutely unsustainable. The ruling class profits from the industry of war. Millions of dollars are funneled to Zionist settlements where Zionist institutions make their home in the empire. Hundreds of thousands of are taking a stand on the right side of history. It's been 5 months now of non-stop mobilization, of building this movement, of shifting the consciousness of this entire country. And comrades, today we're proving that we will continue for as long as it takes. Today we show that we're not just a group of people that will stay home when there's a ceasefire. No, comrades, we're here to demonstrate our eternal commitment to the Palestinian cause. To the cause of anti-imperialism! Because this moment is a turning point of world historical significance, and we must seize it, and we must create the conditions for revolution. There can be no going back to what we thought was normal before October 7th, because October 7th shattered the imperialist world order. It gave us an opportunity to advance our struggle. And this moment is only the beginning of our struggle. In our fight, we draw strength from the revolutionaries who came before us. And what of the history of our struggle taught us? What of 100 years of Palestinian resistance taught us? There are innumerable lessons. Internationalism, steadfastness, discipline, courage, comradeship. But there's another simple lesson that's critical. What we learn time and again from our revolutionaries is this, that we must know who we are, we must know who is on our side, and we must know how to identify our enemy. What we learn from our revolutionaries is that there have always been people like us, like the people of Gaza. There have always been the free people of the world, and we are the forces of liberation and justice. And we struggle because we refuse to accept these depraved conditions. And what we also learn is that there has always been an enemy, and our enemy right now is clearer than ever. Our enemies are the forces of imperialism and capitalism, of Zionism and colonization. These comrades are the morbid forces who cling to their power and to their bottom line through death and devastation. Our history of resistance teaches us that knowing our enemies and our comrades will give us the clarity to carry the struggle forward. We know it is imperative to stand together, to be united in this struggle, and to be committed to it every single day of our lives. And it is in this struggle between us and our enemies that we will shape the course of history. Just take a look around you, and you will see the brilliance of our strength. Every contingent here, every organization here, every individual who came out in the rain for Gaza, we're part of a global movement that's bringing the imperialist order to its knees. And we are driven by great love for our people. We are driven by love for each other, for our martyrs. But we are also driven by great rage. Because it is rage against our enemy, against our conditions, that makes complacency impossible. Our love and our rage are a refusal of these conditions. They're a refusal of this diabolical system. And they are a demand for liberation. We will accept, comrades, nothing short of victory. From the river to the sea. Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.
I want to bring to a stage someone who is not only has a platform, but is using it to show solidarity with the Palestinian people, come what may. I want to bring to the stage Susan Sarandon.
Thank you, and we know who our enemy is. Our enemy is hate. Our enemy is racism. Yeah. Our enemy is colonization. Yeah. Our enemy is greed. Yeah. And our enemy is silence. Yeah. The silence of those who look away when you see crushed children, starving babies, wailing mothers, fathers digging through the rubble to try to find their families. This is unacceptable. Now, disrupting the narrative of the powerful, fighting for justice, it can be exhausting, but nothing compared to what is happening in Gaza, in Rafah, for the Palestinian people that have been going through this for 75 years. Speaking inconvenient truths can lose you your livelihood. It can lose you friends. It may lose you family. But I want you to look out now at this sea of umbrellas and people here, because we are your family. You are not alone. As he said, there are hundreds more, hundreds of thousands across the United States, millions globally, who are standing for Palestine, for justice, for a ceasefire. Millions of people who will keep showing up, who will keep organizing, who will keep speaking out, who will be loud. And we must embrace each other and thank each other and encourage other people to be brave and come out for what will ultimately be proven to be on the right side of history. No one is free until all of us are free. Free Palestine.
Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Long live Palestine.
Long live Palestine.
You know, it's important that we recognize we are not the minority, we are the majority. 67% of people in this country are demanding a ceasefire. More and more institutions are standing up every day. From the faith community, the United Auto Workers, unions across this country. We are not a minority, we are a majority. But we know that we have to continue to tell the stories of what's taking place on the ground in this genocide in Gaza so we can spread the word and build the resistance. And we're honored to have speaking next Lana, who will bring us some of the voices and experiences on the ground. Lana, please.
My name is Lana. And I am a nurse. For me, the past 147 days have been a relentless campaign for justice in Gaza. I've attended multiple protests. I've been meeting with politicians in D.C., spreading the word on social media. I was doing everything I could to tell the world that what was happening in Gaza was not okay. Last month, I found myself in the most miserable place on earth, Gaza. As a recently returned medical mission nurse, I stand before you not only as a nurse, but also as a witness to the pain, suffering, destruction, and the systemic breakdown of the healthcare infrastructure. The current crisis in Gaza and the potential for a ground invasion of Rafah is an international humanitarian crisis. As I was beginning to enter Rafah from the Egyptian side, I witnessed what seemed to be a clear violation of international humanitarian law, which is the obstruction of critical relief supplies. I saw thousands of aid trucks parked alongside the road for miles. The number of trucks allowed in has significantly been reduced to 50 trucks a day from 500 trucks a day. It takes me back to a moment when we were suturing a five-year-old's hand. And throughout the procedure, he kept crying, "I'm hungry, I'm hungry." Reducing the amount of aid allowed in from 500 to 50 trucks a day is deliberately killing each and every person in Gaza. Yeah. These actions have resulted in the starvation of civilians, which is a war crime. Another violation that I witnessed was the willful killing or suffering of civilians, which according to international humanitarian law is also a war crime. Israel has dropped more than 30,000 tons of explosives on the Gaza Strip since October 7, which is the equivalent to two nuclear bombs. U.S. intelligence sources told CNN that nearly half of the bombs dropped on Gaza were so-called dumb bombs. They're bombs that are dropped from an aircraft that doesn't have a guidance system, so it has a lower target accuracy. Therefore, it possesses a greater threat to civilians, especially in densely populated areas like Gaza. For 10 straight days, I felt terrorized by the horrific sounds of drones and fighter jets flying over me. I saw and heard and felt at least 30 bombs dropping a day. Every time a bomb dropped, civilians were either injured or murdered by it. Within 10 days, I saw more amputations in Gaza than I had seen while working in shock trauma in Baltimore within 2 years. What is suffering? According to the Geneva Conventions, the purposeful suffering of civilians is a war crime. I've also witnessed preventable and inexcusable deaths due to infections simply because the antibiotics that are trapped in those backloaded trucks were restricted from entering Gaza. So, yeah, those who succumb to sepsis because they could not get access to life-saving antibiotics are victims of war crimes. With that said, I went into Gaza and I naively thought that I could cure some of their wounds, but their wounds ran too deep. So one day I was talking to my friend and she said, "Lana, those hundreds of patients you took care of, they felt cared for and they felt seen, and that's a victory." So, I may not have been a hero, but I was a witness. And as a witness to these war crimes, and as an American nurse, as a taxpayer, as a mother, as a human freaking being, I am calling for a full ceasefire. And I'm also calling for the immediate delivery of humanitarian aid. And before any more hospital invasions and destructions occur, I'm also calling for the protection of the staff and civilians in the last sizable hospital that I left my heart in, European Gaza Hospital. In honor of our late service member, Aaron Bushnell. Yeah. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine! Next, I want to bring to the stage one of the most stalwart voices for Palestine, Raja Abdul-Haq.
Assalamu alaikum. It's really, I want to say refreshing, but that might not be too fitting, to see the thousands of people, the millions of people around the world united to stand up for Gaza. But the matter of the fact that we're not standing up for Gaza, Gaza is standing up for us. And we are coming outside to save face. that Gaza is dying for us. Yeah. Why we are in our comfort zone in the U.S. and around the world. Yeah. Brothers and sisters and comrades, the West has taken off its egalitarian face and has embarked on its legacy colonialism in Gaza today. For the past 5 months, Israel and the United States of America have shown their true face, the face that we all know, the true face of imperialism, the true face of colonialism, the true face of capitalism, that if you do not submit for them, if you do not submit for Western hegemony, if you do not submit for white supremacy, if you do not submit for Western colonialism, you would face death. The people of Gaza are being starved today, not only because they refuse to die. They're facing starvation publicly live streamed to us to see that this is your fate if you not reject capitalism.
Beautiful people, how are you feeling? My name is Aja Monet. I am a poet, a surrealist blues poet. I am a daughter of African people scattered across this globe. As I stand here in solidarity with you, I stand here also in solidarity with African people who have been exploited. Body, mind, and spirit. These are the moments that new ideas are born. These are the moments that new things are written, dreamed, imagined. The feelings, the ideas, the spirit that is moving through you right now, this is the moment. This is your moment to rise to the occasion, to be who you were born to be, to live in the purpose of those who dreamed you up. This is the moment for you to become who we've all been waiting for. Freedom is not a destination or a train stop on our way to the capitalist terror or whitewash, utopic patriarchal wet dreams. Freedom is a pursuit, a way through, fingertips touching the thunder of loving thoughts, bare feet in the rhythm of running swamplands in the antebellum south. Freedom is an embodiment. You are the embodiment, a presence, a soul print, an all-encompassing, intoxicating dreams, sunlight in the blood, a drum circle in the chest. So what do we say? What do we say to the persecution of our Palestinian comrades as we taste the provoking prison of the American political lack of imagination? We African people scattered across the globe, we praise people, a people of portals, premonitions, and dimensions. We belong to a connection that goes deeper than lands and oceans, deeper than molecules, okay? We are the molecules of movement. We are kinetic energy. We are the choruses of our conjuring. Our love is our liberation. So I say to us who know that we could never possibly own land, that the only land we could ever possibly own is the love shared between us. Our pleas to our people must reach beyond the consensus that war is horrendous and the devastation of war and the terrible images that we are consuming. The images are still an extension of the capitalist isolation of individualism. The West is not forced to address its complicitness and involvement because we are still consuming. We ingest images much like we would television programming. The bloodied bodies and massacred people, mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, generations of surnames, while the images have garnered sympathy and at times outrage. Sympathy does not require commitment and transformative action. It does not implicate. Social media showcases the people's transcription and interpretation of reality, but social media is not reality. What is war through the filter of an algorithm? Tell them about the blood. Tell them about the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Tell them about the blood, the death machines in our palms. Solidarity requires an engaged witness, not just a passive spectator. We need witness. To be with, I will go with you with a slender, flexible branch or twig to extend oneself as if to reach, to lift, to be as, to regard. Withness, we need to be with. It is not merely to observe. and bear witness, but to embody, to do, to be a shared sharing accompanied by combining forces to withstand in relationship to. Solidarity is the migration between fixed identities. It is the movement. It is the improvisation of notes. It is tones, energies. It is collaboration. Solidarity is our origin story. It is borderless as breath. It is our origin story, all right? We can't be yelling at other people for things we want them to become that we have not become ourselves. At a time of hyper-capitalist patriarchy, the people are being strangled of their livelihoods and they're in the values we hold dear. Values like compassion and kindness and camaraderie. The people have become transactional pawns in a game of take or be taken. I want to remind you here today that there are always, always, always things we can do for each other that cost us nothing. Let us not be dehumanized in the effort of trying to be human. This cornerstone of solidarity is what we must preserve. It's the spirit that we must lean on forever and always. And we must remember that the companies and entities who are profiting from our despair can care less about whether we are Jewish, Muslim, Black, or white. They are abusing and exploiting the identities for the sake of profit. So do not hold too tight to your identity. I'll end here with a quote from the great poet June Jordan. And I dedicate what I've shared to you all to Refat, a great, incredible Palestinian poet. We are not powerless. We are indispensable despite all the atrocities of the state and the corporate policy to the contrary. At minimum, we have the power to stop cooperating with our enemies. Let us stop cooperating with our enemies. Free the people, mind, body, and spirit.
And we will end with the words of Aaron Bushnell. I will no longer be complicit in genocide. Before setting himself on fire, Bushnell's astonishing bravery to protest the Biden administration's support for Israel's ongoing massacres remain our challenge and our activism, boots on the ground. Every day, in every way, I'm Mimi Rosenberg, and with Ken Nash, we're building bridges and say, educate, agitate, and organize for a free, free Palestine from the river to the sea.